This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with NATO allies in Brussels, saying that the Biden administration won't slow down in its support of Ukraine during its final few months in office.
It's so critical to the security of the United States, the security of countries throughout Europe, and we will do that. And as well, to continue to shore up everything we're doing for Ukraine to make sure that it can effectively defend itself against this Russian aggression.
Donald Trump has tapped former Green Beret and Fox News host Pete Hegseth to be the next Secretary of Defense. He has been critical of women in combat roles and describes January 6th as a protest that got out of hand, not an insurrection. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, a former presidential candidate, have been tapped to run a new department called the Department of Government Efficiency. Congress still must create such an office. The Wall Street Journal is reporting Spirit Airlines is headed for bankruptcy. The low-cost carrier's proposal to merge with Frontier Airlines fell through earlier this year. This is ABC News. Changes are on the way for the lunch menu at some schools across the country. ABC's Andrew Dimbert explains.
Kraft Heinz says it's pulling Lunchables from the National School Lunch Program. It comes after Consumer Reports urged the government to drop the product from school lunches entirely. Kraft Heinz bet big on its push to get Lunchables into schools, modifying the product to comply with federal guidelines, touting Lunchables as a way schools could cut costs. But nutrition advocates criticized offering processed, branded foods in schools, and Kraft says the demand never materialized.
At least 11 people are hurt, too critically, after an explosion at a factory in Louisville, Kentucky. One witness says it sounded like a shotgun times 1,000. 5 years after the fire that raced through the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, the work to restore it is finished. Officials there making that announcement earlier today. The cathedral will officially reopen next month. Investigators say the fire was either sparked by an electrical problem or perhaps a cigarette. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The announcement seems like only a matter of time, but there will be a sequel to the prequel known as Wonka. The 2023 film starring Timothée Chalamet was one of the top 10 highest-grossing films of 2023, so the announcement was more a question of when, not if. Director Paul King says the script is in the early stages and will take place before Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and he might incorporate some exotic locations where they have to search for secret ingredients. The film Tremors from 1990 is getting a reboot. The team behind the horror flick, which was at times pretty funny, has reacquired the rights to their script and are contemplating how to approach another crack at the franchise, according to JoeBlow.com. Yes, that's a real site. The original film took place in a small Nevada town that saw residents terrified of graboids. Kevin Bacon, who was in the original, has shown interest in the sequel. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks beat the Raptors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks with a 99-85 win over the Toronto Raptors in Fiserv form. What made the difference? Doc Rivers.
One of the things we've been harping on is getting to the paint, creating more threes. Well, shot 56 of them today, and 50 of them were great shots. We just didn't shoot them well. But man, if we play like that every night and get those shots, we're going to be fine.
The Bucks host the Pistons tonight. NFL, the Packers getting ready to face the Bears Sunday. Linebacker J.J. Enagbare on what it was like last week, learning the team had traded Preston Smith to the Steelers.
He's been here all my 3 years here, and pretty much was a big part of my success and growth as a player and partly as a man and as a teammate. So losing him is definitely pretty much hit us close to the heart.
College football, the Badgers with three games remaining, starting with Oregon Saturday night.
The number one team in the country coming in, you know, with an incredible opportunity in front of us. You know, it's going to be a challenge. I think that's the thing that we got to make sure we stay focused on.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Cloudy today with scattered rain developing later this afternoon into this evening. Around a tenth of an inch or less of rain possible by the time it's done. Our high in the upper 40s. It will be breezy this morning, but the wind will die down later this afternoon. Tonight, rain ending 40. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bob's Burgers writer John Schrader, an actor and creator of the first annual Milwaukee Independent Film Awards, Ezekiel Drews. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
And it is a good day. Good morning and welcome to Civic Media Mornings. Pat Kreidlow's off this week. He'll be back Monday with his Up North News Radio. Meantime, I'm Matt Rothschild. I'll be with you today and tomorrow. You may know me from my decades at the Progressive Magazine or from my last job at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. And if you don't know me, let's get acquainted. The number to call is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. This morning in the national news, there's more crazy appointments from Donald Trump, and the craziest of them all is Pete Hegseth for the Department of Defense. Why is he qualified? Well, he co-hosted Fox and Friends for the last decade and hosted their New Year's Eve event. He is, to be sure, a former Green Beret, but he's never run a big bureaucracy like the Pentagon. And catch this, he was one of the biggest apologists for Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher, who had stabbed a teenage detainee in the throat in Iraq. Quite a guy. Today, in a couple hours, President Biden will greet President-elect Trump at the White House, a tradition that Trump didn't follow when Biden won, of course. And in sports last night, the Bucks beat the Raptors 99-85. Maybe it's the beginning of a turnaround. We'll see. We can only hope. As for weather, it's a beautiful morning. We'll have highs in the upper 40s with a chance of rain tonight, and Brittany Merlot will fill us in with the details in a little bit in the next hour. On today's show, we'll also have a new assembly rep from Green Bay, Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, in this half hour. And then we've got the director of the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau, plus Professor Harvey Kay in the next hour, and the newly elected Angela Stroud from the Bayfield area, which hasn't had a Democrat representing them in quite some time because of the rigged maps. I'm with Greg Bach, the great engineer and producer who you can hear on Jane Matinier's show. They were really yucking it up yesterday, Greg. Oh, what was that all about?
Well, there was a school that was being renamed, Southside School in Madison. And they put it out to a vote, and a bunch of there were wonderful suggestions. People of great import from the community leaders, and of course, people had to bring in the funny. And a couple of the Schooly McSchooler Face was one of them, and then Big Chungus was another. And we were laughing so hard; it was like the first time I really, really laughed since before the election. So it was much needed to talk about.
I was laughing in my car as I was listening to you and Jane chortle about it. I love your show. You guys do a great job.
Thank you very much.
I do want to ask you just how you're doing after the election. I was on Friday with Angela Lang of Block and a couple other people, and we were trying to process it, and we were practically in tears.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been such a brutal awakening after the debacle on November 5th. I'm just wondering yourself how you're handling it.
You know, Matt, I think for me, because we work in this world, I'm constantly talking about it. So I actually haven't had a chance to really sit down and think about, the emotions hit me pretty hard last Wednesday morning, but then it was like, all right, got to work, got to do things, got to do this, you know, and then every time I want to think about it, I'm like, I'll just watch a TV show I've watched 1,000 times. I'll think about it later. But, I mean, I'm hearing all the news coming out of the transition team, so it's not like I'm unaware of what's happening. It's just a matter of, like, letting myself sit down and take it all in and really probably, honestly, have myself a good cry.
Yeah, you know, I barely want to watch the news right now. I don't want to look. I don't look at that guy's face or hear his voice, and I don't. You know, I'm reading the headlines. I'll read the articles for a little bit. I'm not going deep in, and it's just, I've turned off my cable TV. That's my advice for you, the listener. Turn your cable TV off. It's not going to make you feel better. It's just going to make you more anxious and more nauseous and. It's really a time for, regrouping and getting our energy back. And I know some people want to throw themselves into the next election. I can't even think of that state Supreme Court race in April, really, much less get involved in it and probably until after the holidays. I mean, I think we need to recognize what a kick in the teeth and punch in the gut this election was and then try to figure out how do we move forward. But in the meantime, I think the most important thing is to take care of ourselves, try to relax, turn that tube off, enjoy some music, enjoy some art, enjoy some poetry. I'm a bird watcher, so I'm always out bird watching where I'm at. And we've got this beautiful poem from Wendell Berry, which he wrote in the midst of the Vietnam War. It's called A Piece of Wild Things. And it kind of captures my advice, or at least part of my advice, pretty well. And I want people to listen to this. I want you to listen to this if you're in your kitchen or in your bedroom just waking up or driving to work, because here's Wendell Berry. He's the great Kentucky poet, essayist, conservationist. He's got a beautiful baritone voice. And here is a classic poem called The Piece of Wild Things.
When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free.
I love that. Day-blind stars. I saw those stars this morning. I was driving in. And he mentions the wood drake, which is just a wood duck, which is a male wood duck, which is one of the most beautiful ducks in North America. And doesn't he have a beautiful voice?
He does. And you can hear the just years on his voice. You can hear experience and strife in his tone when he speaks. There's stories there that sounds amazing. It's wow, that was a very good, thank you for sharing that, Matt. And I think you're right. We've been talking about this on the show too, is like, do what you need to do to recover, to get yourself back to square. And like, you know, if it means just putting the phone down, going on a vacation, doing something, be good to yourself, and then come back and get ready for the next battle. Because that's what it is, the next battle. I was going to say, for me personally, I haven't been able to watch a late night comedy like the Colbert's and the Seth Meyers, because I'm like, I just can't listen to them talk about him in this light now.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, you're in the comedy business. Yeah. And my sons have stopped watching those late night comedy shows because they say they're not telling jokes anymore, really. It's just, you know, the day's news or the anti-Trump stuff with a twist. And it's not really jokes other than making fun of Trump.
Yeah.
And there is something to that. I mean, I think the late night comedians have lost a bit in their obsession with Trump. What do you think?
I mean, he's the center of the world. That's the problem. He's the center of our world, at least as far as this country goes. I shouldn't say the center of the world. There are people out there in other countries who have far bigger problems than what we're going through. But as far as America, regular Americans, he's the center of that universe. and that's what they talk about. And yeah, I don't disagree. I think there could be jokes about other things. So after a while, it does get heavy, and you're like, can you guys just do a Johnny Carson bit where it's like, you know, the great Cardini, you know, like, it's just, I don't know.
I mean, something, because I've watched the news all day. Yeah. I've been reading the headlines and the stories online. And then to have it regurgitated just with a little comic twist at night just doesn't do it for me anymore.
No. It's, and I even like the Daily Show. I can't, with Jon Stewart back, I'm like, you know what? No, I can't watch him be upset, because I feel like he's upset at me for some reason. So I'm like, I'm just going to watch like straight up sitcoms, dumb jokes, relax my brain, and then I'll come back to that. But for right now, I'm putting it down.
Yeah, I mean, that's like me. We go to me and my wife will either watch an old movie. Mm-hmm. We watched My Brilliant Friend on HBO, Italian, incredible Italian. It's not a trilogy. It's four. I don't know what you call a quad trilogy.
A quadrilogy.
I don't know. Anyway, there you go. And it's an incredible series of novels turned into an incredible HBO series following the companionship and rivalry, really, of two very smart young girls in Italy and Naples, and real poor, rough Naples, and then all through their lives. And it just ended Monday night.
Yeah.
And it's just a great show. But that's diversion for us. The cooking channel's all, the food channel's always diversion for us. And we just can't stand the news anymore. But I think that's where we are, those of us who feel devastated by what happened on Tuesday. You know, we need to find a way to relax and recharge and regroup. But I also think politically, we need to talk to our neighbors. And, you know, half the state voted for Trump, more than half of mm-hmm. those who voted anyway. And I advise, people know, if at least if you're not living in the Isthmus of Madison, where you can go a week or two or a month without bumping into someone who doesn't agree with you. A lot of people in the Isthmus don't know a single Trump voter.
Yeah.
But for those who are outside of the Isthmus of Madison, you know Trump voters, and you know that not all, not even most Trump voters are flying Confederate flags or waving Nazi flags, are really, you know, out and out racists and bigots and homophobes and sexists and anti-Semites. No, they voted for Trump, as the polls showed, because they, you know, they were suffering under inflation, and they're hoping that Trump will deliver, you know, economic goods to them. And so I think we need to be in conversation with them and not dismiss them. We can't dismiss half the population of Wisconsin, right?
I think so. And I think that, you know, there are lots of conversations that need to happen over the next couple of years. And they should have been had for a while now. I think the problem is we all sort of disregarded each other once we so vehemently disagreed with one another's opinions and votes that we just sort of isolated ourselves from those we disagree with. And that's just, I don't think that's not the recipe for a solution.
Yeah, I think the recipe is more, you know, what they're doing at the grassroots organizing in Western Wisconsin, or what they were doing down in Jefferson County, where they're doing deep canvassing, actually going time and again, knocking on doors and talking to their neighbors, getting to know each other, listening first and foremost, and then, you know, trying to share what they have in common and listen to what they don't have in common, and then keep the conversation going and trying to bring people around long term. It is a long term effort, and that's what we need to do. You're listening here to me, Matt Rothschild, talking with Greg Bach here on Civic Media Mornings. Pat Kreidlow, he'll be back on Monday. And please join us in just a minute when we come right back.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please tell me you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Yeah, Ross Pelt here with you and Greg Bach, the great engineer and co-host of the Jane Mantenair Show. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. Pat Kreitlow's off this week. He'll be back on Monday with his Up North News Radio, and I'll be with you for the rest of this morning and for tomorrow morning. And it's always a pleasure and an honor, really, to be able to get on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm a big believer in Civic Media Radio Network. I'm a big believer in progressive media infrastructure and building that infrastructure, because one of the reasons that Donald Trump won is because the right wing has been so systematic, not just this year and last year, but this decade and last decade and the three previous decades, in building a media infrastructure and an echo chamber that gets their message out time and time again, whatever you think of that message, and convinces people. They've done the work. They've done the media work. And the folks on our side haven't responded appropriately. And we've suffered as a result. And civic media is an effort to rectify that, and also to bring civic dialogue all across the state of Wisconsin and try to model how we might talk to each other. As Greg and I were talking right before the break, how important it is to have civil conversations with people who don't necessarily agree with us, because the art of politics, after all, is convincing some of those folks who don't agree with you that our view of what's right and just and beautiful and American is the way to go. And so we got to keep having those conversations. Now, my guest this, I'm waiting to see if we've got Ahmad Rivera Wagner, who's newly elected to the 90th Assembly seat from Green Bay. Try to get him on the line here, because I've known Ahmad for a while. We were doing some work together in the Wisconsin Voting Rights Coalition. I was always impressed by his recognition of the degree to which the far right was willing to go to gain power. And he sensed this and knew this before a lot of people. And so do we have Greg on the line? I mean, Greg, do we have Ahmad on the line?
We're working on that right now.
All right. Yeah, so he was chief of staff with the mayor at Green Bay, and Ahmad Rivera Wagner saw the far right throwing its weight around in Green Bay in a real ugly way. And he stood up to them and kind of rang the alarm bells for the rest of us, saying, you know, this is what's coming down. I remember when Trump lost
and Warnant refused to leave. Ahmad Rivera Wagner and I were one of the only folks who were objecting to the confident attitude that the Biden folks had after they won the election. This was right before, this was between the time they won the election and January 20th when Biden was sworn in. And I was saying, I'm not going to breathe easier until I see Biden on January 20th taking the oath of office, because, you know, I knew who Trump was and who Trump is. And I knew he didn't want to give up power, because a narcissist never wants to acknowledge that they lost. That's part of his psychological pathology. And so Ahmad was on the same page as I was, and we were just wringing our hands when people were saying, look, we've got this. I remember a Washington Democrat was talking to our group on Zoom and said, oh, we got this. We got the best lawyers. No problem. Don't even mention the word coup, because the more you mention the word coup, the more likely it's going to happen. And I said, really? That's what's going to bring about a coup? Just talking about the risk that there's a coup? Come on now. And so that's where we're at.
Matt, we have Ahmad on the phone right now. Here we go.
Beautiful. Hey, Ahmad Rivera Wagner, congratulations on winning your seat there in Green Bay. What was that like?
Kind of incredible, to be honest. As someone who grew up, I was raised by a single mom. Me and my mom were homeless for the first early parts of my life. To go from that to living in this incredible city and then being able to represent it in the assembly, feels incredibly special, and I'm just grateful to the residents of Green Bay for electing me to represent them. So it feels like an honor of a lifetime.
And tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, so as I said earlier, my mom had me at 16. She was kicked out of her house for having me. And so my mom worked very hard, often two or three jobs. And we still struggled with homelessness at the time. And two big things changed our lives. Well, one was a program called Habitat for Humanity. So this is a program that is a nonprofit that works with local municipalities to get land. And then they work with strangers of all different backgrounds to actually build a house for people who are experiencing housing insecurity. And so me and my mom, along with a bunch of strangers that we didn't know how they wrote it or where they came from, we actually built the house that my mom still lives in, which set the foundation for me to become the first person in my family to go to college. And then secondly, one of the many jobs my mom had was being a PCA, a personal care attendant, who takes care of folks who are the most vulnerable, people with mental health issues, people who want to age in place and that might have disabilities or physical disabilities. And she had that job for several years, but they didn't give her a living wage increase in that time. And so I would work in the summers to help her. And she asked me one day, we need to do something. She's working so much. And we Googled how to form a union. And SEIU came up, Service Employees International Union. And 18 months later, after I gave them a call, I helped my mom form a union for her PCA cohort, and we had the largest living wage increase that she had ever gotten in her life. It was the only time in her life where she only had to work, or the first time in her life where she only had to work one job. And so that's the foundation for me to get involved in politics, because I realized that we need people who understand these issues in the halls of power, that government works at its best when it's lifting people up and helping people out, and that can make a huge difference in someone's life. And so, I'm a product of good people, some smart policies and hard work that changed my life. And now I get to live in this incredible community with my husband. I'm a first-time homeowner. I have my golden doodles.
Ahmad, could you hang on and come back after the break? We got a break right now, but I'd love to have you hang on just after the half-hour break. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. Pat Kreitler will be back on Monday. I'm Matt Rothschild. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you, reporting from the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. What's on the docket today? President-elect Donald Trump has nominated former U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin of New York to serve as the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator. What does this mean for biofuels? Stick around.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance, but it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
The EPA is the agency that looks at ethanol and biodiesel. Market analyst John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing says in the past, the Trump administration has been supportive of biofuels.
They were actually fairly green in terms of those biofuel movements and, again, wanting to get ethanol into the system, getting it used more. I know they were pushing heavy for the E15. We're still struggling getting that out there as way it needs to be on a national scale. So those are some things that will be policies we need to watch as we, start turning the calendar into next year. And hopefully we get some more of this domestic demand, because realistically, even though export sales have been pretty good for both corn and soybeans, more corn than soybeans, we still need that domestic usage to get through these supply piles.
John Heinberg along with us, market advisor from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. We'll take a look at your markets next.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
On the close yesterday from Chicago, grain markets were in the red. December corn closed down a penny and a half at 428.5. Cash soybeans were down 11.75 cents at 1010.5. And November 2025, new crop soybeans closed down 13.25 cents at 1031.75. Cash wheat was also down 13.25 at 552.25. And July 2025, new crop wheat was down 13.5 cents, closing at 584.75. Barrel cheese dropped a quarter of a cent at $1.68.5. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 0.75 cents at $1.71.75. And AA butter closed down 4.75 cents at $2.59.75. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy today with scattered rain developing later this afternoon into this evening. Around a tenth of an inch or less of rain possible by the time it's done. Our high in the upper 40s. It will be breezy this morning, but the wind will die down later this afternoon. Tonight, rain ending 40. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a high near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else. Right?
Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a Hump Day edition. Our very own Trinity Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, with a look back on the election that was. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
saying you want to. I'm not saying you would. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying you could. Let it fall into motion. Carve our names in the wood.
Hey, Matt Rothschild with you here on Civic Media Mornings. Pat Kreitler is off this week. He'll be back Monday with his Up North News Radio. Meantime, you've got me today and tomorrow. And it's a beautiful morning if you're just getting up. It's going to be high in the upper 40s, maybe some rain tonight. I'm speaking with Ahmad Rivera Wagner. He is the newly elected member to the 90th Assembly seat from Green Bay, where he's been chief of staff for the mayor there. Ahmad, I wanted to ask you what your hopes are for accomplishing things in the assembly. What's your main priority there?
One, I just want to move away from the chaos and conspiracy theories that we've been kind of plagued with here in Green Bay, particularly from the state legislature, and kind of focus on basic things like getting an economy that works for everyone, allowing workers to negotiate their wages and benefits, to address mental health, to make sure that we address our housing crisis here in Green Bay. So those are things that, you know, I wish I could tell you it's something crazy, but it's all these simple things that I think we haven't been able to get to because of the gerrymandered legislature previously, and a deep focus on things that weren't real. I've run to make sure that we focus on real issues affecting local residents.
You know, the focus on things that aren't real was part of the agenda of the far right. And as I mentioned in my introduction to you, you were aware of the threat from the far right long before many folks on our side were. What do you make of Trump's election? What do you attribute it to? How do we deal with this?
Big question. I'll first just give a little context of what you had mentioned. You know, back in 2020, folks, after the election and Joe Biden won, people not from his community had decided that random people in the city of Green Bay had stolen the election, that there were two internets and that there were midgets in the machines flipping
votes. Really?
And it led, yeah. And they actually, you know, stalked my husband because they thought that my husband wasn't real, that I'd made him up, and that I was a paid DNC operative who was told to move to Green Bay to steal the election for Joe Biden. So I just want to make sure that despite it being 4 years ago, that led to 2 or 3 years of death threats, harassment, stalking. And in fact, I'm going to be sworn in on January 6th of next year. It's 4 years to the date where a local group protested outside of City Hall, calling for the Proud Boys to come get and or potentially kill me, the mayor, and the first black clerk. And so it really is an incredible moment that we're in, from going from being threatened by a white supremacy group to being able to represent this incredible community in Madison. And so I think that that's important to note. But those are distractions. You know, we didn't get to talk about the housing crisis here in Green Bay, the growing mental health crisis. And so I think in many ways we've gotten better, but I don't think that we're, you know, over the hump. And so to connect that to this moment, you know, it's unfortunate to see that U.S. Senate candidate refusing to accept the election results and, you know, and out of thin air claiming that there were irregularities, even in 2024, after everything we've been through from the Gableman investigations and the recounts and the death threats and harassment, to having someone running at that level claiming that despite Trump winning, that there's still irregularities and it wasn't happening, is somewhat of a shame. So I do think we're in a moment that we have to reckon with, that there are some extremisms that have not ended, and that we also have to reckon with that we have to talk to the people in the community about their values. We can't expect people to show up for us that we don't talk to. And so I'm very proud that we engage in a multicultural coalition. We talked about democracy. We talked about housing. We talked about mental health. We talked about our roads being safer and easier to walk on. We talked about everyday issues, and we won in a time where so many other folks across the state lost and across the country. And I think that's important for people to note. You just can't expect folks to show up for you at the last minute, that you have to engage them in their language, where they show up, how they show up, and about issues that care about them. So I think we can hold two truths to be evident, which is that I think our extremism, we have not addressed it in a way that could actually convince people of how it can impact them. And I think that we need to talk to people about the issues that matter to them and a deep focus on that.
I've got to ask you, how'd you deal with all those death threats?
So football and beer, you know, it's a great place to live in Green Bay to do that. I remind people that Green Bay is a special place. And not only are we the smallest city to own an NFL team, we've been recently ranked the number one place to live in the country. My neighbors are kind. My neighbors have all different political backgrounds in my community. They make me Christmas cookies. They put out bowls of water for my dogs when I walk them. The extremism just isn't a Green Bay value. It doesn't reflect who we are and how we take care of each other. We're a blue-collar community that just wants to make sure that people thrive, regardless of how they show up to work. And if they work hard, they can get the things that they deserve. We have a government-run amusement park here. In so many ways, Green Bay is emblematic of all of what's possible when people take care of each other. And yet, this extremism tried to seep through. So one of the best things I was able to handle this was turning into my community. My friends, family, my husband is the son of dairy farmers. They all took care of me. They took care of our family. They came up here. They canvassed for me. They door knocked for me. They supported me in my run, but they, more importantly, took care of me during the darkest times in my life. And so it's an honor to represent them. That's why I ran for office. I thought that we needed a clear-eyed vision beyond that chaos and conspiracy theories and make sure that we take these Green Bay values to Madison. So I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but this is a special place, and folks know how to take care of each other, and we can't let those bad actors kind of distract us.
I'm speaking with Ahmad Rivera Wagner. You're an out gay man. Now the LGBT community has been under assault, especially during this campaign. Eric Hovde and Trump, especially the T trans folks, really attacked. How do we support our trans neighbors?
You know, like I said earlier, the way to win is not to throw people under the bus and already take marginalized communities and make them the punching bag. The answer is that we take care of each other, right? But at the end of the day, the folks in this community, including the LGBTQ folks, just want to do the same thing everyone else does, which is get a house if they want it, marry the person they choose, build a life as they want to build, have a job that protects them, that where they don't feel discriminated against. These are simple things that are easy for people to understand. And it's too often that we let people get caught up in often made up lies about the community that they may not know. And so to me, leaning into the community and taking care of them, it shouldn't be that difficult. And so I don't think in an era where they're trying to pick people off, we should buy into that. And something I've learned, and you know, maybe you know something about this as well, it's a new victim that they're trying to pick off every day, right? So they start with the trans community, but at some point it will be other religious minorities, like folks that are Muslim or Jewish. It might be folks that are people of color. It might be immigrants today. It might be folks that identify as Black tomorrow. That the point of this extremism and this kind of hyper-vigilance around things that aren't happening is kind of a mythology that they're just trying to rally their troops, that somehow we're taking away things. And I think the power that we have is to take care of each other and know that we're all in this together. And I think that is the power we have when we work together, that we can win. And so I don't think we should be throwing any one of our communities under the bus to win elections. I think we should be standing up for them and with them, because we all deserve a piece of the American dream.
Well, that's Ahmad Rivera Wagner, newly elected to the 90th Assembly seat from Green Bay. Ahmad, thanks for your wisdom there. We really do need to take care of each other, especially those who are most threatened. Good luck in the Assembly, my friend.
Thank you so much, Matt. Have a great day.
You too. I love that man. He's doing great work, and he was very wise early on in ringing the alarm bells about the vigilantes in the far right. Now I'm going to switch gears because I think one of the important things to do in this moment, as Greg and I were talking earlier, is turn the politics off for a bit. Turn the news off. Recharge your batteries either by going into the woods, as we heard Wendell Berry in his great poem talking about that, or also listen to music, go to an art museum. And so my next guest is Matt Foss. He's the director of the Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum in Wausau. Matt Foss, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I wanted you on because, as I mentioned at the top, I'm a crazy bird watcher, and that is a redundancy because all bird watchers are crazy, differing only by degree. Some are super zealous and will go anywhere in the country or even outside of the country to find a rare bird. Others of us, and this is me now, you know, I just like the cardinals and the nuthatches and the woodpeckers. And I saw a pileated woodpecker the other day, which was awesome. But you've got this exhibit, which you're now in the 49th year of, this Birds in Art exhibit, which runs in the fall and it runs to December 1st. Tell our listeners a little bit about the Birds in Art exhibit, which I've been to a couple times, but not in a decade, I don't think.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And really, the exhibition Birds in Art coincides with the opening of the museum itself. So the museum opened in 1976, the fall of 1976, and it was founded by the three surviving daughters of Lee Yawkey Woodson, who wanted to create a museum in memory of their mother. And they didn't really have a big collection themselves to open the museum with, so they needed a first major exhibition. And they were mutual friends with a man named Owen Grommey, who was a very famous Wisconsin artist and naturalist, and he served as a consultant. And so,
yeah, Owen Grommey, I love Owen Grommey, prairie chicken pictures, right. Ducks flying, scaup ducks flying. I used to have, I don't know where it is, I used to have an Owen Grommey somewhere. Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, no, he was a very well known and beautiful Wisconsin scenes. But he was thinking about what people were doing in fall in northern Wisconsin. He said, well, people are bird watching, bird hunting. What if we did something called Birds of the Lakes, Fields, and Forests? I'll call a few friends and we'll get an exhibition together. Well, his friends just happened to be the greatest wildlife artists in North America. And so they got an exhibition together, and the Woodson family hoped that a couple thousand would see the exhibition. And 5,000 saw it in the first couple of weeks. So not being fools, they decided to do it again the next year and the following year. And it became an annual hit and known as the museum's flagship exhibition. So now we're in our 49th year, always opening the weekend after Labor Day and always closing the Sunday after Thanksgiving. This year, the exhibition runs till December 1st, and we have the artwork from 106 artists from throughout the world, and just showcasing the best of avian inspired wildlife art. And perhaps the most important thing is that the Woodson family believe that art should be free for all. So we're committed to always free admission. So there's never any charge for any of our exhibitions or programs.
And you guys are open every day except Mondays, right?
Every day except Monday. Yep. Pretty much every museum has one of those days where they need to do things behind the scenes. And Monday is that day for us.
You know, we're coming upon a break, so I'd like you to hang on if you could until closer to the top of the hour, because I'm curious, first of all, what your plans are for the big 50th. I imagine you'll have something under wraps for that. I'd love to hear what that is. And we'll continue our conversation. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for Pat Kreitlow. We'll be back on Monday. I'm talking with Matt Foss, who's the director of the Woodson Art Museum up in Wausau. We'll be right back.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me.
I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life.
Good morning, Matt Rothschild here with Civic Media Mornings. Nice listening to that Paul McCartney song, which was also, by the way, a song about racial justice. I'm joined here by Matt Foss, who's the director of the Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum up in Wausau. We're talking about the Birds in Art exhibition, which is running there right up to December 1st. So you have a little time left, but you should get up there. It's just the exhibits there are great. And I myself have to get back there. I haven't been there in years, but I've been there twice and really admire the exhibits there. This is their 49th anniversary and the 50th is coming up, of course, next year. And I want to ask Matt Foss, what is on the table for that one?
Great question. Well, first, maintaining the excellence of what the exhibition is each year. So the exhibition is completely different each year. And we always have three different jurors choose. Usually we get over 1,100, 1,200 entries from artists from all over the world. So making sure that the artwork in the exhibition is at the highest level is probably step number one. But we'll have a few special little gatherings and surprises that I'm not ready to quite disclose yet. But one of the biggest things that we want to do is we want to produce a handbook chronicling the museum's impressive collection. So while Birds in Art is our flagship exhibition, the museum's collection, which has over 15,000 items in it, sets the standard for art of the natural world. So landscapes, seascapes, other animals. And we have quite an impressive collection, and we really want to showcase that, let people know all that we have to offer.
And you've got another thing going on right now there, which is new. I saw on your website, it's called Bird Room Redux. What is that about?
That's a great question. So we often have exhibitions that complement the main exhibitions on view that are drawn from our permanent collection. And the Bird Room Redux is an exhibition drawn from an artist named Nancy Hill. And it really plays, there are three trompe l'oeil works all set in a mausoleum setting that our terrific staff built for the occasion. But Nancy Hill's work, as well as the exhibition, really kind of trying to toe the boundary between life and death and real and surreal. And it's just, it's a fantastic complement to Birds in Art.
So by mausoleum setting, explain that. Is that, first of all, it sounds morbid. And secondly, is it something that you physically can walk in, or is it
small? Correct. Correct. It's a smallish mausoleum, but yeah, our facilities manager, as well as other member of facility staff, we build everything in-house, as well as our assistant director and collections curator built this mausoleum that you can, a small mausoleum that you can actually walk into, to really get the experience of what the artist originally intended. It was at this sort of exhibition was at a museum in Chicago 20 some years ago. So it's based off what the artist intended.
And tell me, Matt Foss, who's the director of the Woodson Art Museum up in Wausau, are you a bird watcher yourself?
I don't go out in the field, but I do love birds. I'm watching them from my own living room. I don't know if it's a bad thing to say, but turkey hunter. But being out and kind of watching days begin and all the bird life that surrounds that has always been a thrilling experience.
You know, I went turkey hunting once with my brother-in-law in Crawford County near the Mississippi River. He had a rifle and I had my binoculars. He didn't get a turkey, but I did enjoy just being up in the blind and being out in the woods. We did hear and see a couple turkeys, saw some woodpeckers. Mm-hmm. There's something just so enriching. Magical, yeah, is a good word for it, Matt Foss. So the museum is open Tuesdays through Fridays, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And Saturdays and Sundays, noon to 5. Is that correct?
Correct. And we're also open the first Thursday of every month till 7:30 p.m., as well as every Thursday night during Birds in Art. So until December 1st till 7:30 p.m., give people a chance who work during the day to visit us.
And you've done some remodeling. I was going to say the place got a lot fancier the last time I saw it, not fancy in a bad way, but certainly you've had some upgrades there, right?
Yeah, you know, the museum is fortunate to have a foundation that supports capital projects. So as a staff, we're always evaluating ways to make the museum better and more accessible for our audiences. So we're always looking for that next thing to improve our offerings for the community, which is what we're all about.
So the address is 700 North 12th Street in Wausau. I encourage people to go to the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau. I encourage people to go to any art museum right now, or go into the woods anywhere you are, and try to regather yourself, because it's such a difficult time. Matt Foss, thanks for being my guest here on Civic Media Mornings, and thanks for all you do there. I'll give you a holler when I'm coming up to take a look, probably next fall.
Please do. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. So, you know, the weird thing about me and birds is that, you know, I post a lot on politics, Greg, and I see how many people comment on it,
yeah,
and share it. And sometimes, you know, in my self-satisfied way, I think I just wrote something great, and it'll get 3 shares, and then I'll post a picture of a bird and it'll get 25 shares. And there is something universal about the love of nature. And it's humbling for me to recognize what's really important in people's lives and what really makes them feel better about the world we're in. And so I encourage people to go out into nature in these next few days, especially while it's still nice out there.
I think that's a great idea. I think I might go for a hike this weekend.
And we're lucky here in Wisconsin to have so many wonderful state parks, county parks, city parks, national wildlife refuges. You're listening to Matt Rothschild on the Civic Media Mornings. Pat Kreitlow will be back next week, and I'll be back in just a minute with some more excellent guests. Please stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Matt Rothschild will co-host. We'll talk to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils on Trump's plan for the Department of Education. Plus, the truth bomb too many Democrats need to hear. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut?
I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.